Wednesday at this time is typically Vents Day on the Jefferson Exchange, so it is today. Your chance to vent your spleen politely on a couple of topics in the news. This week's topics are recall campaigns and traffic ticket surcharges. And we can go to traffic tickets more generally. Join us with your thoughts on these topics on the Exchange at 800-838-3760 around the region by email jx@jeffnet.org. Let's talk about the recalls in depth first, because they are an issue in the region again. At least three members of the Oregon legislature being targeted for recall because of their votes in favor of a bill that would require background checks on all private gun sales in Oregon. The bill passed and is on its way to Governor Kate Brown, who says she'll sign it. Two representatives, Val Hoyle of Eugene and Susan McClain of Forest Grove, are recall targets, along with Senator Chuck Riley of Hillsborough. There's also talk of a recall campaign against city councilors in Fort Bragg over the decision to locate transitional housing in an old hotel downtown. In both cases, the recall efforts are based on decisions the people targeted made in carrying out their duties, which raises the question we've asked a number of times and are asking again today. When is it appropriate to seek to yank somebody from office before their term is up? Should recalls be saved for those occasions when somebody is actually using their office for inappropriate means, maybe like the Congress member who had had his office decorated like something out of Downton Abbey? Or are all decisions we disagree with potential grounds for recall? Let's hear what you think about this. 800-838-3760, anywhere in the listening area. 800-838-3760. Email address jx@jeffnet.org. Item number two this week is about traffic tickets, actually the extra charges that get slapped on top of traffic fines. This is becoming a big issue in California, where fees and surcharges have been used to help pay for parts of the criminal justice system unrelated to traffic infractions. Then if you're late paying the original fine plus fees, you can incur late fees and more charges until you get your license suspended for failure to pay. Add to the picture the recent studies that show we still have something like debtor's prison in America. You can be jailed for falling behind on fines and bail payments. Let's hear it. When is it proper to jail somebody for non-payment of debts? When does it become inappropriate to levy additional charges on top of fines? Paul in Grants Pass, welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on Vents Day.
Jeff, I'm ashamed to admit it, but I am a scofflaw.
Oh, my goodness. You have held back on tickets?
No, I have gotten a ticket. But I went down to the court, and I did what I was supposed to do, and I paid some money, and I went to traffic school, and I was so happy to see that most of the people around there were my age and not teenagers. I expected to be the one sore thumb in traffic school. And so I was greatly reassured that other people sometimes make mistakes. And I think that our fine system works really well, and the traffic school system works really well in Oregon. Now, if we have a predatory system, that's a little bit different. There was the community north of Eugene Coburg incorporated, what, 500 feet of freeway so they could run a speed trap out there all the time. That's a little predatory. I'm not so sure that's a good thing. What was going on in some of these cities back east that does create a situation where a person can never pay also creates a problem. But generally, in our system out here, the officer's not going to pull you over unless you're doing something wrong. I was going way too fast on a road because I was really angry. Oh. It was my fault. I admit that. And the officer was very good in getting me in and out of the process. So here, I don't think there's a problem. Back east, there may be a problem. In the cities, don't know, but we don't have that issue there. Quickly on recall, you recall anybody. You know, our political system is a revolution that never stops. We just do it most of the time without knives and guns. Now we're doing it with money, but the entire system is designed to churn and is designed to bring fresh ideas into the polity. You know, the only thing that really doesn't change quickly is the Supreme Court and the judiciary. Everything else is designed to churn. And if you've got somebody that's ticked off enough to initiate a recall, then I'm happy for them. Go for it. The thing we do have to do to make sure that it isn't being done willy-nilly is to make sure the thresholds are set high enough for a person to be subjected to a recall election, that it does away with the frivolous stuff and the spurious stuff.
Which is a fair point, because there is a threshold for collecting signatures to actually put those recalls on the ballot.
Absolutely.
All right, Paul, thanks for the thoughts on both of those. So we are talking about both traffic tickets and traffic ticket surcharges, more of an issue in the California justice system than in Oregon at the moment, and the potential for some amnesty in the California system. But, you know, talk about traffic tickets in the context of how much you might have paid the last time you got one. $260 for driving with cell phone, I admit it. I'll give the details in a few moments. But let's hear what you paid for your last traffic ticket and whether you thought it was a fair and appropriate amount. On the California side, it might be a bit more than what we paid on the Oregon side. Join us on the Jefferson Exchange with your thoughts on traffic tickets and recall campaigns and when they are appropriate. 800-838-3760 around the listening area. 800-838-3760, jx@jeffnet.org. I want to come back to what Paul was saying, though, about the constant churn in the system. That's understood. There's always going to be a desire to elect somebody else. There are new ideas that come along, et cetera. But are recalls appropriate? For one thing, they are not allowed in Oregon until a person's been in office for 6 months. And since all of these people were elected in November of last year and didn't officially take office until January of this year, they couldn't even be eligible for recall until after July. So the first election opportunity would be in August, and that's about 90 days to collect a pile of petition signatures. So what do you think about when it is appropriate to go for a recall on a public official? 800-838-3760 or jx@jeffnet.org. The other topic, traffic ticket surcharges. Here is Charles in the Applegate Valley. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange.
Hi, Jeffrey.
Hi.
Say, I just have a little comment, and that is that I think that all the tickets, all types of infractions, speeding tickets and all this, should be tiered to people's personal income. Because somebody with a lot of money, they can be driving a $100,000 car down the highway, they get a speeding ticket, they have their personal assistant take care of it, they pay $1,000 to an attorney, and they're out of it. Somebody who's working for minimum wage at a fast food restaurant, it breaks their budget, it breaks their back, and yeah, they could end up in jail for not paying all these surcharges. So the IRS does a great job tiering everybody's income. So they just look up what your reported income is, and the higher your income, the higher your ticket. If you make $10 an hour, maybe a speeding ticket should be $40. If you make $200,000 a year, maybe your speeding ticket should be $200. And if you make a couple million dollars a year, maybe it should be $10,000. Or they could tier it to what kind of car you're driving. If you're driving a $100,000 car, you should get a way higher fee ticket fine for the same infraction as somebody driving an old beater. The old beater should get a much lower rate than somebody driving the fast car. And I'll take the answers off the air. Thanks,
all right,
Jeffrey.
Charles, thanks for that. Appreciate it. It's an interesting concept. And let's hear what other listeners think about that idea, too, that we should be looking at this as a graduated system, like the income tax, where the more you make or the more value your car holds, the more you're going to get charged on a ticket. Is that a proper way to go about traffic citations? Join us on the Jefferson Exchange with your thoughts on this Vents Day, 800-838-3760, anywhere in the listening area, 800-838-3760. Email address is jx@jeffnet.org. We're also talking about recalls, when it is appropriate to recall elected officials. Three members of the Oregon legislature targeted for recall because of their votes in favor of background checks on private gun sales. That did pass both houses of the legislature. The second passage came this week, and that is now on its way to Governor Kate Brown for her signature. She says she will sign it. So there will be, apparently, background checks for private gun sales in Oregon. Your thoughts are welcome. 800-838-3760. Or jx@jeffnet.org. Let's talk about some of the genesis of the discussion about the traffic tickets, because it's coming up to the possibility of amnesty in California. The LA Times editorializes, about 80% of what Californians pay for their moving violations isn't part of the base fine at all, but is necessary to cover the many assessments and surcharges tacked on over the years to pay for state and county government operations that have nothing to do with cars or driving. These add-ons have raised billions of dollars over the 5 decades since the first assessment was levied on traffic tickets, a modest 5% charge to fund driver education programs and schools. But enthusiasm for this seemingly bottomless funding source has gone too far. Tickets are now so expensive that people are increasingly not paying them, even though the alternative is the loss of a driver's license or jail time. As a result, ticket revenue has been declining. Over the last 8 years, the state of California has run up about $10 billion in uncollected debt from unpaid tickets. Several of the funds that rely on ticket fines including the Peace Officers Training Fund, are facing insolvency next year, in part, officials say, because of offenders' failure to pay. Is it any surprise, the LA Times wonders, that many people aren't paying what a typical ticket with a base fine, or when a typical ticket with a base fine of $100 is laden with so many add-ons that the final cost is nearly $500? And a ticket with a base fine of $500 will run you nearly $2,000. Don't pay immediately, and a $300 penalty is added. A recent report by a coalition of civil rights groups noted that excessive traffic fees combined with harsh penalties for missed deadlines and reduced access to courts have led to more than 4 million Californians losing their licenses over the last 8 years. Only a fraction of them have been able to get their licenses back, in part because doing so requires full payment. The price of a ticket ought to be set by government in an effort to disincentivize misbehavior on the roads. It should not be raised every time government needs money for a program, even a worthy one. Governor Jerry Brown, to his credit, is proposing an amnesty, his second since taking office. For those who qualify, outstanding debt would be cut in half. In 2012, when he vetoed a bill that would have added an additional dollar per ticket for spinal cord injury research, Brown wrote, "Loading more and more costs on traffic tickets has been too easy a source of new revenue. Fines should be based on what is reasonable punishment, not on paying for more general fund activities." The LA Times editorial concludes Brown should go further and propose legislation to reassess years and years of piled-on surcharges. Yes, there will still be revenue at the end of the process, but the overriding goal should be to price tickets so that they are sufficiently punitive but not unaffordable for millions of Californians. So, a potential amnesty coming for California. What's the biggest traffic ticket you've ever paid? Did you feel like you deserved it? Or was there something ladled on top of that charge that you thought might have added to it as well, that you might have thought was just a bit much? Join us on the Jefferson Exchange with your thoughts, 800-838-3760. Anywhere in the listening area, 800-838-3760. Email address is jx@jeffnet.org. Our other topic is recalls, when it is appropriate to recall people from office. Michelle emails, "I think that in principle it is always okay to target a lawmaker for recall in a representative government as a form of accountability if you don't feel you're being represented. This is one of the few forms of accountability that people have to counter the pull of big money in the political system. In practice, I disagree with the way this principle is being applied in Oregon right now, which seems to be more of a reflection on our polarized political system. The remedy from this perspective would be rooted in social changes that come from being willing to have relationships and conversations with people who disagree with us and getting money out of politics." That, an email from Michelle. What are your thoughts? When is it appropriate to do recalls? When is it not? And what kind of traffic fine did you pay the last time you got nailed for something? Or, for that matter, we'd like to hear from you if you've never gotten a traffic ticket and how you approach driving day to day. I'd be curious to hear about that, too. Join us on the Exchange on this Vince Day, 800-838-3760, anywhere in the listening area, 800-838-3760. Email is jx@jeffnet.org. Back to recalls for a moment, because I'm reminded of some other recent cases. Scott Walker, as governor of Wisconsin, got into office and immediately had a Republican majority in both houses of the state legislature and began to severely curtail the powers of public employee unions in the state of Wisconsin, which made him a lightning rod for controversy, resulted in protests, you might remember, a couple of winters back in the state capitol in Madison, Wisconsin, and ultimately resulted in a recall vote which failed. And the exit polling information from that particular recall vote was really interesting, because it wasn't so much that people had any great love for Scott Walker, who did ultimately win that recall vote and stay in office and won re-election a couple of years later, but also for the fact that many people said that they just did not feel that the use of the recall was appropriate. However much they might have disagreed with what Scott Walker was doing as governor, there was no particular malfeasance in office in the opinions of many voters. There was no particular thing he had done that rose to the level of high crimes or misdemeanors, other than just doing the things that he intended to do as governor within the political system. Legal, certainly. Fair, that's an open question. But does that rise to the level of a recall? And for a lot of the people who voted in that recall campaign in Wisconsin, the answer was no. And that's why he stayed in office that time. When is it appropriate to try to recall somebody from office? That's one of our topics on Vince Day. The other one, traffic ticket surcharges, particularly onerous in California, and a possible amnesty coming. Let's get your thoughts on what you're paying in traffic fines and what you paid for your last ticket. I've already admitted mine. Let's hear yours. 800-838-3760, jx@jeffnet.org. Here's a call from Harold and Eugene. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on Vince Day.
Good morning.
Hi.
I wanted to comment on both. First, on the recall, as much as I would have liked to have seen Scott Walker recalled, I feel that a recall should only be used when there's a specific promise or thing that a politician said they're going to do, and then they don't do it or they do otherwise. And then as far as when they're in office and they do something wrong, like we believe Kitzhaber did, that should be handled as a criminal issue separate from a recall. And then for tickets, traffic tickets, I think I've got a great idea, is that no surcharges raise the ticket price, but when you're paying it, you have the laundry list of items that the money is going to, and you check the box or boxes that you want the money to go to. So it's your decision, you know, you're paying a higher ticket price. And then on the back of it, or when you're at court, here's a laundry list of possible places that money can go, and you check two of them and give them $100 each or something like that. So thank you, and that's it.
I appreciate it. So check boxes, essentially, like the income tax forms, where you get to check a few boxes on your state income tax return and say you want some money to go to this, that, or the other thing. Interesting concept there for the traffic tickets. I don't know how many judges would think that was a good way to deal with people or the system itself, but the system is us, isn't it? We get to decide these things. Join us on the Jefferson Exchange. What do you decide about what should be done about traffic tickets, traffic ticket fines, and surcharges, particularly onerous on the California side? We're also talking about recall campaigns and when those are appropriate. When is the appropriate time to seek to remove an elected official from office? Join us on the Exchange with your thoughts on this Vince Day. 800-838-3760, anywhere in the listening area. 800-838-3760, or by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Adam, no town given, emails, fines are not punishment. They are an effort to shed drivers and meet California's greenhouse goals. Interesting. Interesting concept there. Let's go to Jim in Grants Pass. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on this Vince Day.
Yes, good morning. Back in the days when things were simpler, do you remember, were you in Oregon long enough to remember when we had the basic rule?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay. The point was with the basic rule and small justice courts that understood the area. If you lived in an area that was posted 55 miles an hour, yet it was foggy and you knew there was black ice and whatever and the traffic was heavy because school was out, blah, blah, and you were going 45 miles an hour, you would still get stopped. And the judge would say, look, you grew up in this area, you know the road conditions, you should have been, you know, going about 35 or maybe, you know, whatever. And he's fine. In other words, they kind of like a doctor judging patients individually.
Uh-huh, yeah.
And it worked. Of course, we got overpopulated, we got freeways, blah, 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 I understand. But the basic rule was so basic, so fundamental, it worked.
Yeah, in fact, the traffic tickets for so long, and in fact, I'm not sure that ever really completely went away within city limits, but VBR, violation of basic rule.
Yeah. I mean, it has to be hooked with small courts that understand the conditions in the area themselves, you know, grew up in it and whatever. Thank you.
All right. Thanks for that, Jim. Appreciate it. Interesting concept there. You wonder, though, how that gels and squares with the experience that that Paul mentioned earlier about what happened in Cobourg, Oregon, just north of Eugene, which for quite a few years had a real ticket mill going on and has finally moved away from that in recent years. But the folks in Cobourg marveled at the fact that their police force spent most of the day out on the stretch of Interstate 5 that passed through Cobourg, handing out speeding tickets left and right. This was a method of income. This was a revenue stream for the city of Cobourg. Which gets us then to the larger issue of, like, you know, when is it fair to begin assessing monetary charges on people for things other than what you've just caught them doing? And the city of this comes back to the city of Ferguson in Missouri, where the Justice Department's investigation into how city government business was conducted indicated that the police department was really a supply chain for the city budget because of the fact that tickets and fines and all the other things that, that roll into that were one of the major methods of income for the city of Ferguson. And it was not terribly fair in the eyes of the Justice Department. And don't know if it's being dismantled as we speak, but at what point do you go beyond just saying, here's the fine you're going to pay as punishment for what you did, and go on to another realm of, well, here's punishment for what you did, and you're going to help support the city of Ferguson, the city of Coburg, the budget of the county that you're in, whatever. I mean, where does it cross a line? And that's what we're trying to find out here today. Give me your thoughts on traffic ticket surcharges. 800-838-3760, anywhere in the region, 800-838-3760. Email address is jx@jeffnet.org. Here's Rick in Eugene. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on Vince Day.
Morning.
Hi.
Hey, I have to start this by saying that I recognize that this issue is impossible to get perfect because there's too many different kinds of people driving around and different agencies have different funding requirements. I recognize that. But I believe that no matter what, you know, for a general infraction, I think the first time that a person is stopped, which could be easily seen by the officer on his computer, if he hasn't got a record or anything recent, he should be given a warning, period. And the warning should go into the record. And the next, if that person is stopped again, particularly for a similar offense, the officer will be able to see that he just got a warning and then give him a ticket. Mm-hmm. But we've all had experiences where we were, as somebody mentioned earlier, they were upset or something unusual happened in their life and they're just not paying attention. And if an officer pulls you over under those circumstances and says, listen, you were driving dangerously, I just want to point it out, I'm giving you a warning this time, if it happens again, you're going to get a citation. A lot of people would just say thank you and would pay attention to that. Second, I don't think the funds that are collected from traffic citations should go automatically to the police department or to any other government agency. I think they should be deposited in a fund, and at the end of each year, you should just put on the ballot for the local community what the citizens would like it to go to and give them some choices and let the people decide. I think it's a terrible mistake to generate income for anybody out of traffic tickets. The incentive is too great to be draconian.
Interesting. So a pot of money, and then you decide at the end of the year how it's going to get allocated. The voters get to decide how it's going to get allocated.
Interest at the beginning in getting this done, because I live in Eugene. We have areas in Eugene, several of the areas, where a city street transitions into a country road, and the speed limit changes at a certain point between the two. It usually goes up from 25 to 35 or 40, and about once every 6 weeks, the traffic team on their motorcycles come out and hide behind objects right at that transition zone. Mm-hmm. And there are a lot of people who begin accelerating to the new speed right before the speed actually changes, and they grab them for accelerating early. And they do it for money.
Yeah. All right. Rick, thanks. It's good to hear from you. It's been a very long time. Let's go to an email here from Jacob in Talent, who writes, there is conflict of interest when the city or state considers ticket punitive income in their budget. Rather, there should be a system to reward good drivers, such as tax incentives, etc. The current system is something we invented. Can we not change it for the better? That from Jacob in Talent. Final email here from Jay in Walterville. He writes about traffic debt. He says, debtor's prison is part of what caused the French Revolution hundreds of years ago. We have an infraction to incarceration system. More money, more money, more money, locally and the corporate prison system. Well, we can certainly get into that another day because we didn't really touch much on the whole debtor's prison part of things. But there are people who fall behind on fines and end up behind bars, which isn't supposed to happen in America these days. Jay, thanks for the email. Jacob, thanks for yours. Thanks to everybody who called and emailed earlier. Been another pleasure to talk to you on Vince Day on the Jefferson Exchange.